Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers, and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, you missed some wicked ninja skills. I just remember it's Chris France, of course, is the drummer from the Talking Heads, and Jerry Harrison is the guitarist. I just remembered that. And then Catherine was so angry with me, just because of something I said. And she jumps to offence very quickly, that she threw my Nurofen at me. And she threw them. I raised my headphones to put them on their head. The Nurofen bounced off the headphones, went straight into the bin.
No, into your bag.
Straight into the bag is what I meant.
Like a trick shot it was.
Okay. Okay, dear listener. Now, you know us, we like to... been on the hunt recently for a new podcast, and I think we've found some great ones. At 11 o'clock, Stephen Tobolowsky. Okay, go and Google him. You'll recognise him from so many films. He's been in over 200 movies, which is insane. He does a great podcast, The Tobolowsky Letters. Files. I discovered it at the weekend. I did four of them in a day, and they're like over an hour each. And it's great storytelling. Great, funny, insightful. The band Radiohead is named after him. I know, it's nuts. So found some really good podcasts recently, and ages and ages ago, and it was a long, long time ago, I got an email from Chris Warburton, who's been on the show before, who was talking about the staircase murder. Was it a murder?
Was it a raptor?
Was it a murder? Was it a raptor? Yeah, the guy murdered his wife. Not Chris Warburton. As far as I know, he's not been found guilty of any murders. No. Not been found guilty. There's the rub. And he sent me an email a while ago saying, I've got a new podcast out. If you get a chance, have a listen, and if you like it and you think I could come on the show, then please do. And as I do with all of my important emails, I go, I'll have a look at that when I've got a bit more time. Like 2 months went past, and suddenly it's one of those moments. I woke up in bed at like 4 in the morning going, oh shit, that email from Chris, oh god. And so I listen, and it is such a good podcast. We're going to play a little trailer for it. Wake Up to Waco, I think it's called.
No, it's not.
What is it?
It's called End of Days.
He should change the name. It's great. It's the story of the 20-odd, 29, I think it is, 20 something like that, British people that went over to Waco and got involved in the whole David Koresh thing. You can find it on iTunes, on the BBC iPlayer. I wouldn't bother going to BBC Sounds. It's a car crash of an app. You can get it on Acast, all your usual podcast places, right? And it's well worth listening to, and I know a lot of you have. Let's have a listen to the trailer for the podcast, and then we'll have a word with Chris about it. So here we go.
The Wackos of Waco were like you and me.
This podcast is the story of a cult. A cult from the middle of nowhere in Waco, Texas, convinced that God's final judgment was coming to the earth. And at its centre, 30 people from Britain.
Really was just a cult group out in the country out there.
This wasn't a little house on the prairie, all innocent and sweet, no. The psychological hold he had on some of those people was extreme. You know, they were brainwashed, pure and simple.
Why don't you learn the everlasting gospel? Why don't you believe Revelation 14? Why don't you fear God and give him glory?
There's a time I begged my daughter to leave the country, see for yourself. Let's leave this place.
Let's send them out of that house right now.
No.
The entire compound is just engulfed in flames.
I was thinking,
My sister's in there. My aunt is in there.
This is their unbelievable story. This is End of Days.
And it's great. I think it's 8 episodes, about half an hour, 40 minutes each, and it's an amazing story, and it's brilliantly told. And I believe we should have, fingers crossed, I never quite trust Skype. We've got Chris Warburton on the line now. Evening, Chris.
Evening, Ian. I don't trust it either, but it's working, right?
It's kind of working. Our next guest is going to speak to from LA, and we kind of toyed with the idea of doing Skype, and we both went, you know what? It ain't going to work. Most Skype conversations, the first 5 minutes are, can you hear me? Is this... I don't think he can hear me. Chris,
yeah, well, exactly. But you know, I present on Five Live, and I do it on the weekends.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that we have guests and I say, can we please just get them on the phone?
Yeah.
Because every single damn time... Skype, or I know we're going to use FaceTime for this one.
FaceTime.
And I think, I'll come off it. Well, this is not the future.
I enjoy
it. It's not the future. The phone is fine.
I'm going to enjoy the next 90 seconds of us being able to communicate, and then when you disappear, that's the end of that. Hey, listen, man, thank you so much for getting in touch about this, because this is a podcast that totally bypassed me. Some of my listeners pointed out it had been on Radio 5. Five Live at some point. Tell me about the background to this. Where did you get the story from? How did you land on this?
Yeah. So my producer, the guy who I made this with, the guy called Kieran Tracy, was the producer of it, and he just moved to Manchester, and he was on one of these guided tours of Manchester, and they went into the old coroner's court of the city. It's kind of deep underground. It was this very sort of old, very kind of, very, very strange building, yeah. Very evocative, I suppose is the word I was looking for. And just as part of the tour, they said, oh, yeah, and this is where the inquest for the British people who died in Waco took place. And he was like, wow. Okay, I didn't know there were that many British people. And then he started looking into it and basically found that about 30 British people went out there and 24 of them died out there. So then we started basically trying to put the pieces together as to when that cult first started coming into the UK. And then we discovered that actually David Koresh himself had come over here in about 1988-89 to a college in Berkshire, in Bracknell, which is such a, you know, it's so far removed from where this all ended in the prairies of Texas. And that's the sort of bit that just thinks, how did all of this happen? But basically, he came over there, had a load of Bible sessions at this college off campus. And then a bunch of the people who had gone to experience that then went back to their communities, if you like, in London, in Nottingham, and in Manchester, and word kind of spread. And I suppose the podcast was about us trying to follow that path, really, you know, follow that web as it gradually went out across the UK, and then trying to understand what encouraged those people to give up, you know, their pretty normal existence in the UK to decide to head out all the way to Texas.
Chris, I was really interested by the idea that he came to this college, and then you kind of explain in the podcast that it's a Seventh-day Adventist college. Is that right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's right.
So these are people, they were regular churchgoers, they were members of families that loved them, but they were members of this church. And I'm guessing the fact that they're kind of primed to await the second coming by the Seventh-day Adventist sort of branch of Protestantism was what led them, perhaps, to be ready for someone like Koresh to come along.
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. You know, there's definitely an aspect to that, because, you know, having made this, the thing that we get asked all the time is, why did these people suddenly think that this was the man? You know, this was the new Messiah. And I think you're right. I think there's something in that church, albeit, you know, there's 2 million members, something like that, worldwide, of Seventh-day Adventist Church. So, you know, it's quite a big denomination of Christianity. Yet, I think as part of that church, the kind of arrival of a new Messiah is quite a big part of it. You know, the imminent arrival of the second coming, if you like. And I think, you know, for a guy who's very charismatic like David Koresh, who knew the Bible inside out, who was able to turn around and go, hey, it's me. And they were all kind of, well, maybe, could be. You know, that sort of was quite a big part of it. And also, he was absolutely schooled in these very, very difficult kind of end of times parts of the Bible. So, you know, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the stuff that a lot of theologians choose to go nowhere near because they just say, do you know what, it's too difficult to decipher. But there he was saying, I've got it, guys. I totally understand this. And what's more, it's all going to be going down in Texas, so why don't you come over? And I think that kind of mixture of his personality, along with what he was saying, and along with a message that they wanted to hear, as you're quite rightly saying, Kath, was quite intoxicating for a lot of those people.
What was interesting, and by the way, dear listener, there will be spoilers, but we are only going to touch the tip of the iceberg because there are so many different stories and permutations in this podcast.
That's right.
What interests me is that these were just normal people. These were they're not weirdos. They're not whack jobs. They are normal people who are religious and are looking for some kind of answer.
Because the usual stereotype, you know, we grew up kids just post 70s and the Moonies and stuff, all that happened. And it seemed to be in popular culture, you know, there would always be, if you were watching a film, it would be someone who was lost and alone in a big city would get sucked into a cult. This wasn't the case at all, actually. These were members of families that really cared about them.
That's what I just learned more and more. And it was people doing quite ordinary professions. You know, you had teachers in there, you had nurses in there. Okay, these were people who led pretty Christian lives, as we just described there. But in a lot of cases, you know, it's the children of a builder who was in Manchester, who was just going about his business, who, you know, had an absolutely tragic story to tell. Yeah. But the more and more we kind of met a lot of these family members, the more we just thought, do you know what? You know, these are just people who are just amongst us all the time, who must look back 25 years ago and just think, what on earth happened in my life,
Chris,
you know, they've been living with that ever since.
Chris,
you know?
The story that really got me, and I've forgotten the gentleman's name, but it's the gentleman who's he's the handyman who lives up in Manchester.
Yeah, the builder.
The builder guy.
Sam Henry.
That's it. And his daughter is the first person. His daughter goes out and he's heartbroken and he flies out to Waco and he tries to persuade her to come back.
Oh,
and
yeah, you're punching the air, aren't you, at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Thinking he's going to do it. It's going to be great.
And she refuses to come back. And so he goes home to his wife and his other kids. And a short time after that, they tell him, they call him upstairs and say, look, we've packed, we're off to Waco tomorrow. We're moving out there. That's incredible, and the dignity with which he speaks about just the biggest heartbreak a man could go through.
It is the most unbelievable story of the entire thing, and the fact that he did what I guess any parent would do when his daughter decided to head off to Texas to this commune on the outskirts of this city of Waco, a place that she wouldn't have known, that he would have had no idea about at all. The fact that he got on a plane and then traveled for hundreds of miles in a Greyhound bus across America to suddenly get there, to get into the commune itself. And he describes in great detail, as you heard in the podcast, the confrontation he has with David Koresh.
Oh, it's so tense.
Who is basically trying to get him to join in as well. Sorry, what were you going
to
say, Kath?
I was going to say, he's tried to assimilate him, and then when he realises he can't, this guy suddenly becomes a troublemaker. And it's kind of wonderful to hear because he's in front of everybody, he's exposing this guy, and you think, he can see it, he can see what you can't, but he's on his own.
That's it. And there's that line, when he said he first arrived, it really struck me, where he says, I saw this woman staring at me when I arrived at the commune, and I'm sure she saw a Christian when she looked at me, but I saw a witch. And you just think, oh, wow, you know, God, it's so evocative. It really is. And then, like you say, he then leaves, can't believe he hasn't been able to persuade his daughter to come back to the UK. He comes home. He has to break the news to his family. And then literally within weeks, they turn around and say, we're heading off there too. And it's kind of like, well, when? And I think it was, well, tomorrow. And he has had to live with just the most extraordinary loss for all of those years. But he was so welcoming to us. He's moved, because he came over as part of the Windrush generation, you know, and he's moved back to Jamaica now. And so we had a really long chat with him. You know, I was in Manchester, he was in Jamaica, and we did one of the interviews that way. And then he was really, really gracious, because when it was the 25th anniversary, he was having a special memorial service in a cemetery in Stretford in Manchester. And he basically said, do you and Kieran want to come along? Which was so nice, because it was such a personal moment and of great emotion for him and his family. And he just basically said, you know, yeah, you come in. It's really important. It's really important for him and so many of the other people we spoke to that people hear this story, so that they're aware, I suppose, of not how easy, because it's not as if it's something that regularly happening in society, is it? But the, you know, if the circumstances are right, people can get attracted into that.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
They could be dreaming and meeting each other in their dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
There are so many lovely, lovely people in it. The couple that went to like a sort of Bible studies, I don't know, weekend week, or that marathon Bible studies session that was held by one of Koresh's partners. And people are sleeping on the floor with their kids, and they're all
like, go to the loo or anything, would he?
And they're kind of, it's this lovely couple, and they're sat there going, this isn't quite right. There's something about, and tell me about them.
Yeah, George and Dimplets Taylor.
Oh, I love Dimplets so much.
Dimplets was so nice, and she has no idea why she's got that name either. I said, I've never heard that name before. She said, I was given this name. I don't know why. There's no good reason for it. I've never heard of anybody else who's called it ever before. But yeah, they live in Oldham. They welcomed us in. They were just such lovely, nice, gentle people. And like you say, they basically described the fact that they were invited to, as they call it, a kind of Bible session. And it was with David Koresh, his right-hand man. And it was in a semi-detached house in Manchester, in a place called Cheetham Hill in the north of the city. And I'm giving it off like it was all just happening in Manchester, but it wasn't. You know, similar things were happening in Nottingham, similar things happening in London as well. But in this particular instance, like you say, it was standing room only in a living room. People, you know, sat on the windowsill, seating around the place. They were living there for the best part of a week. Some of these people, they had families there, they were sleeping there, they were eating there, as this guy Steve Schneider, David Koresh's second in command, basically just bombarded them with David Koresh's message. And there were just parts that Dimplets talked about where she said, I went up to him, I interrupted him at one point, and he was furious. You know, he wasn't a man who was accustomed to being questioned or interrupted at all. And then at one point he said, I've got to go and make a phone call. I've got to go and speak to God. Wow. And she realized that he was referring to calling David Koresh, and he was essentially referring to him as God. And the thing is, you know, there was a reasonable percentage of people who were in that room who then chose to head over to Waco. And she tells the story of her own sister-in-law, who was one of those. And then she tells us the dramatic story that you might remember as well of her sister-in-law choosing to escape from the commune in Waco with her children in tow. And it was like dead of night, all in dark clothes, because they were scared of some of the kind of heavier type of characters who are aligning themselves.
There are so many of these stories. I want to get onto Livingstone in a minute because he is fascinating, and well done for getting him in, because that I think is what elevates this podcast into something very, very special. Is you've got someone who is a big supporter still of Koresh. But there are some incredibly upsetting bits, some horrendous, very honest accounts. Particular bits when the siege happens, and the siege went on for, I don't know, was it like 55 days or something? And it was a complete cock up from the Americans, from the FBI and the American firearms. It was a cock up, and they handled it abysmally. But you've got these sisters and these fathers and these brothers and these friends who are at home watching their family and their loved one, watching the building that they know their family is in burn down. And the again, dignity is the only one I can think of. The dignity with which these people tell, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, tell the horrific story of watching this happen on television. That's something really, really special that you got them to share it so honestly. It must have been tense in the room when you and Kieran are sat there with a microphone and someone is sharing that stuff with you.
Yeah, totally. And it's also one of those ones that when you're doing some of these interviews that we did for hours and hours and hours, because we didn't know how the whole thing would piece together a lot of the time, but you know that you're initially talking about the relationship with their sister or, you know, their son or daughter or whatever it might be, the relationship. You're trying to get that human side in the interview. And then it kind of moves on to when the cult started coming into their life, and then when they made the decision to go over there. And you know that the interview is inevitably heading towards them describing probably the worst moment of their entire life. And you know it's going to be full of the most horrific memories for them. And for a lot of these people, they hadn't ever talked on the record before. A guy called Devon Elliott, who works in a school in a village outside Nottingham. Such a nice guy. And he was one of the first people we interviewed in the whole thing. And he's never spoken on the record about what happened before. And I could just, you know, you could see it in his eyes. And it was just, you know, I didn't feel guilty because this is the job, right? And he knew we were going to be asking him the questions, but it did feel like we were intruding in such a horrendous memory for him. And as you say, because it was 1993, I mean, we're so used to the kind of 24-hour nature of the news and all the rest of it now, but I was 16 and I remember that being a story that I was watching on the sofa in my mum's house and thinking, yeah, this is okay. It was one of the very first stories that really sort of permeated in that kind of 24-hour CNN type of way, you know, and obviously the final outcome of it was so horrific in nature, and the fact that these almost plywood buildings were just consumed by fire in the prairie winds, and the fact that they were able to watch the whole thing come to that conclusion. And some of the accounts that we had as well, Gail Mombelli was another one, her sister Bernadette, who she was so close to, the way that she describes hearing the news, turning on the television, collapsing. It's just horrendous. But you know, I don't want people to think, oh, God, this sounds like way too tough a listen to get into, because, you know, a lot of people have said it's not the easiest listen at times. But the fact is, before you get to that point, you've really got to know those characters. Yeah. You know, you've got to know them as people, and actually, you know, you feel for them rather than find it really, really difficult, I think.
We mentioned this character Living Stone, as he calls himself now, who was within the compound, was, you know, very, very high up with David Koresh. Koresh sent him out during the siege to go and negotiate with the FBI. And, of course, they just put him in the back of a truck and put him in prison.
That's it.
Tell us about Living Stone, because, I mean, there's the whole thing about him defending Koresh having sex with wives and with children in there. He is unblinking and unwavering in his support of Koresh, which is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he still said David will return, you know. Wow. He will return and it will mark the end of the world. And we almost had to say, well, actually, David Koresh. And he's like, yeah, it will be David Koresh will return. Incredible. He is absolutely convinced. And he now lives in a tower block in Nottingham. And we had to go through quite a long process to encourage him to actually speak to us. And part of the thing is, he's been quite used over the years for media to sort of say, well, what happened? You know, just on a very kind of basic level. Yeah. Of what was it like living there? Then what happened on the day of the raid? What happened during the siege? Blah, blah, blah. But he was absolutely adamant that he wanted to get into all of the kind of, you know, philosophical, spiritual underpinning of the whole thing as far as he saw it, you know, the word according to David Koresh. And I've got to say, you know, Kieran, my producer, and I were kind of like, oh, well, that's just going to be so heavy and unpenetrable for the listeners. But then when we actually agreed to go and speak to him, and I interviewed him for about 3.5 hours, we actually realized that you kind of needed quite a lot of that to actually understand how far off in their kind of perception of what was happening they were compared to, say, for example, you know, the average punter or the FBI who are trying to negotiate with them. You know, you're trying to negotiate with people who are thinking in a completely different way about what's going on there. And so that was interesting. But I mean, you know, it was such a challenging interview, because he was quite suspicious of us, I think, quite a lot as well, as to whether we were going to give him a fair crack of the whip. And I've never had so many questions that I've asked with the answer being, well, Chris, in order to answer that, we've got to go back 2,000 years. And I would just think, we don't.
And you kind of said as much a couple of times. I thought the way you kind of steered him back onto the topic, there were a couple of little nudges, very subtle ones, and a couple less subtle. But it was necessary, wasn't it? Because as you say, otherwise, you could have been there for 6 hours. I get the feeling that he actually quite liked setting the record straight as he saw it.
Yeah. And I mean, he's had an absolutely extraordinary life, because he was actually imprisoned in America for 14 years. He got a 30-year jail sentence for conspiracy to murder a federal agent because of his part in the initial raid at Waco. He did his time there and then came, can you imagine coming back to the UK and just sort of, okay, well, that was that. That was that part of my life. It would just be completely bizarre. And, you know, we went to see him in the tower block. There's not an awful lot in his flat. And you've heard that bit that we recorded right at the end. He knew we were recording, but he basically said to me, you know, well, I'm not sure you're necessarily going to get this podcast out, because there's going to be some big things happening over the next couple of months. And I was saying, well, what do you mean? You know, it could be the old end of the world. He was like, well, you know, there's a chance. And you're kind of like, okay. And that was his parting shot, and then we're off.
Maybe he was talking about Brexit. I think he meant Brexit. I think that
Could well have been. Chris, actually, that's a very good point.
Could be. Chris, listen, we're out of time. I'm so glad you sent me an email. Please send me an email with the next project that you do, because me and Kath absolutely love the stuff that you do. We think you're brilliant.
Good.
Kieran is incredible as well. Let's be honest, Catherine. We all know the producer is the real brains.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
In these organisations,
we all know that.
It's if you want to find it, dear listener. It's End of Days. I've got the title right for the first time. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on the BBC iPlayer, wherever you normally get your podcast. There are moments of lightness in there and humanity and all of this stuff. We've made it sound very heavy and very dark. There are some very heavy, very dark moments. But it is a beautiful story. Beautiful, possibly the wrong word. But there are some very human stories that are beautifully told. Well done, Chris. Thank you so much, mate.
Yeah, nice one. Thanks a lot for having me on.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
They could be dreaming and meeting each other in their dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.